Welcome back to The Daily Drum on WHUR, Sirius XM, Channel 141, 96.3 HD2 and 98.3 FM. This is the Inside segment. I'm Harold Fisher. Her name is Rhoda Bechet. She's a social media influencer from Houston, Texas. But earlier this week, she posted this video from a hospital emergency room.
Have I ever done to anybody in my life to deserve this? I never did anything in my life to hurt anybody. Literally, a man asked me for my number. I said no, and he picked up a brick in front of so many men and was like, what are you gonna do? And I told all these men, like, yo, why is this man got a brick on my face? And he's holding a brick and all these watching and nobody does nothing. And he hits me in my face, and then they all just watch. And they let that nigga get in the car. How is this okay? Is this what y'all doing to women?
Yes, you heard her. She says a man hit her in the face with a brick after she refused to give him her phone number. Now, in the video, one side of her face is severely swollen and distorted. And since the video was posted, more than $35,000 has been raised to pay for medical bills and counseling for her. Well, tonight, we are going to offer some counseling of sorts to those who might seek to respond inappropriately to rejection. We're also going to offer some advice about how to handle aggressive, unwanted street attention. My guests are former Maryland delegate Dr. Daryl Barnes, founder and president of Men Aiming Higher, and Dr. Stacey J. Johnson, marriage and family therapist and host of OWNS, Put a Ring on It. Lines are open. If you have a comment, if you have a question, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can X me at HFisherWHUR, or you can find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Stacey, good to talk to you again. Sorry we have to bring you in for this kind of conversation.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
Harold. Hi, my brother. How are you?
I'm doing okay. And, of course, Dr. Barnes, good to have you on as well.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Stacey, I want to start with you. How did we get here? How does something like this happen?
I can say that we got here, Harold, from not paying attention to the small things that ticked us off in life. A person to do this to anyone, there's something bigger going on with that gentleman who had the reaction, not the response, but the reaction to someone simply saying no, to react in a way such as this, picking up a brick, to do anything outside of build a house or build something. It just seems ridiculous that we are at this place. I also think, honestly, to the men that I've read who were watching, it goes back again to there not being the discussion around what happened before this to any of these people to drive them to do what they did to this poor young lady. Yeah. Sad.
Yeah, it's extremely, extremely disturbing. You know, Dr. Barnes, same, you know, question for, you know, for you. I mean, look, you're a black man, like me, of a certain age. And so I'm sure that you were just as horrified about this as I am. But brick or not, we know that there are so many instances where a simple request for a phone number or denial of giving someone a phone number will, you know, elicit all kinds of unpleasant, colorful metaphors.
Yeah, listen, I see it a little different than Stacey. First of all, this was unconscionable. This was unwanted, and this was unnecessary. I think this young man is displaying a product of his environment. For him to act out the way that he did and for others to stand by and watch this is just unacceptable. I think that we have to now look at this young lady who has been traumatized, who now is going to have to deal with this, the rejection or the rejection of other men that's going to come in her life. I think we need to look at the trauma, not only for her, but even this young man of what he's going through. But more importantly for me was the other men that stood by and watched this. And they watched it for a couple of reasons, in my opinion, for either fear or retaliation, that they were also scared of what this guy would do. For this guy to feel comfortable enough to pick up a brick and hit this young lady in her face, they were scared of what he may have in his pocket or what he may be able to do to them, and the reason why they stood by and did nothing.
Yeah, and I agree. You know, a lot of times these days when we see things that a generation or two ago would prompt us as a community to intervene, now I think the response is, no, we're just going to sit back and just let these things happen because of that. But even with that said, I guess, Stacey, the thing that I am struggling with, and let me say, this is one of my biggest pet peeves about how specifically black men address women in the town square, where if you ask for, you know, a phone number and she says no, you keep it moving. The old fashioned cat calling, wolf whistles, that has really progressed into a severely, at least, uncomfortable situation, and as we've seen in this case, one that is dangerous. Why do you believe that these things are happening? And look, Stacey, let me as someone who grew up in the DMV, I get it. I remember high school, leaning on the wall, Eleanor Roosevelt High School. I'm shouting out my high school with the fellas, and a nice looking co-ed walks by, and it's like, shorty, slam, what's up? You know, but it didn't really, it never went any, it went no further than that. So why is it now going so much further, Stacey?
Well, I believe, first of all, I have to say to the gentleman who, I guess I'm still stuck on response to the environment. I mean, the whole culture of the people, the environment that we live in is cultural. So it's not, I mean, I don't know what he meant by environment. Hopefully it's a cultural environment, because the world is just a very different place than was many, many years ago. It's just drastically different. And I believe that we have to, for me, instead of looking at the why, look at the what can happen next, because we are here, unfortunately. And unfortunately, we have to have these hard discussions and conversations. What can we do now? Because for me, looking at the culture of Instagram and social media, and we laugh at things that aren't funny. I believe that some type of way, you know, the hormone that supports empathy, which is, it's on the tip of my tongue, but I can't think of it right now, is not, we are acting out. We are acting in a way that is more, enhances conflict more than resolution. So we're here. I would rather have a conversation is, what do we do now? Because trying to understand some of the things that I see that people laugh at is, I don't understand where the laughter comes from. I don't care if it's somebody falling off a bicycle and falling down a flight of stairs. To get laughter from laughing at people in that manner is just, we're here. So what do we do next? First of all, we have to realize that rejection is a part of life. It's a part of everyday life, whether you're being rejected from a job, some type of career, some type of proposal, anything. Rejection is a part of life. So what do we do about that is, to me, the healthier conversation, because trying to understand why anybody would do anything to pick up, to hurt somebody with a brick is just cultural more than environmental. Mm-hmm.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking about rejection as well as aggressive street interaction. How do you deal with rejection? How do you deal with catcalling and the and inappropriate, unwanted street attention? If you have a comment or a question, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Let's talk to Patrick calling from D.C. Patrick, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hey, how you doing, man? This is taking before.
Go right ahead.
Listen, I've been following this for the past week. Patrick,
you're going to have to call me back. You are really, really muffled, and I can't understand you. I apologize. Give us a call back, and if you get through, we will take your phone call. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Gary, calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling, Gary. What's on your mind?
Hi. I'm sorry. This might not fit the narrative. The whole story hasn't been told, and it's unfortunate what happened to this young lady. But before that incident, she smacked him. Then she started twerking. So she embarrassed the person. Okay. So now I wish he had maybe smacked her back. Okay. But he went overboard with that. And so she profiled him like we are profiled because he looked weak. Okay. Looked innocent. Okay. So she thought that she would be able to do anything to this man, but he wasn't going for it. And so, right, it's unfortunate that this happened. But in this situation, I'm sorry that she was wrong, okay? But she didn't deserve the brick thrown in her face, okay? But in this day and age, you don't know who is going through all kinds of problems in this day and age. You don't know if they're carrying a gun. You don't know if they're carrying a knife. You have to keep your hands off of other individuals. And I'm sorry that this happened to her, but please, you know, just tell the whole story. She smacked that man first, and then she went to twerking, showing off. So he was embarrassed twice. Hmm. And so he said that he was not going to go for it. And so he went overboard. And it's very unfortunate.
Okay.
I am so sorry.
Gary, thank you so much. You know, Dr. Barnes, you were nodding your head.
Yeah, listen, I think that even with understanding the whole story, you know, Harold, when we were growing up, we were always taught you never put your hands on a woman.
That's true.
And I just think and
it still stands today.
Once again, I go back to the product of the environment. See, when we were growing up, there was that it takes a village to raise a child. And I think in this case, it all starts at home and how these young people are being raised, how they're being taught, who's in their life, who's not in their life. We know that in the black community, in certain pockets of black communities, should I say, we're living in social and economic despair. We're living in a single parent household. We're dealing with all kind of other traumas and things that's going on. So for this young man to feel comfortable enough to pick up a brick and throw it in this young lady's face, I just think it's unacceptable. I think, once again, it goes back to understanding the whole story. Even if she smacked this young man, for other men to stand by idly and watch this without doing anything, I think is unacceptable. So I think, once again, both of these individuals are going through some form of trauma. And as Stacy indicated earlier, I think a lot of it has to do with where we are in the year 2023 and dealing with what we see on television, what we see on social media, and what these folks feel comfortable with, that they feel that they can get away with it.
But is it trauma, or is the reality is that some of us just don't know how to act?
I think it's a combination of both. I think a lot of it is what I feel comfortable with my peers, and then what I feel comfortable when I'm with my parents, and what I'm doing when I'm outside of the home and what I'm doing inside of the home. I think, but a large part of that is the teaching that you should be getting at home. I think a large part of that is what he is afraid of or not afraid of when he gets home, when his parents confront him on what he did. those are the things that are the issues. When we start to drill down to what's really going on, I think it all starts there.
202-319-7810.
Exactly.
202-319-7810. We are talking about an incident in Houston, Texas. A woman says that a guy asked her for a phone number. She rejected him. She was hit in the face with a brick that he had, that he picked up. What's going on with this? What's going on with us? How do you deal with these situations moving forward? We are talking about it. Patrick from D.C., Shy from Maryland. We're going to talk to both of you. Please do not hang up. You will be able to hear the program. Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on SiriusXM, Channel 141. Don't forget, you can hear every edition of the Daily Drum Insight segment via podcast on WHUR.com. You can also download the 96.3 HD2 app on your smartphone and hear the program live in its entirety. Like I said, stay with us. Patrick, we're going to talk to you next. Also, Shy as well. The Daily Drum will continue on SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. John Mons is next with the original Quiet Storm on WHUR. We'll be back in just a few seconds. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We're talking about how to respond to rejection and aggressive, unwanted attention on the street. My guests are former Maryland delegate Dr. Daryl Barnes, founder and president of Men Aiming Higher, and Dr. Stacey J. Johnson, marriage and family therapist and host of OWNS, Put a Ring on It. Let's go to the phone lines. Patrick, thanks for calling back. What's on your mind?
Can you hear me better now?
I most certainly can. Thanks for calling back. Go right ahead.
Pleasure speaking with you again. I'll be brief. I've been following this story since it broke over the weekend. Just want to let you know, and I'm not condoning the brick to the face by any iota, the lady is a staunch feminist. All of the people around her said she's an antagonizer. She had assaulted a Caucasian person earlier, smacked some gentleman. I don't know if that's who the earlier caller said. But she had antagonized the guy. It wasn't just about him taking rejection. He did pick up a brick and threatened to throw at her. She stood there and didn't even try to retreat. She called or basically said all Moorish American nationals, indigenous black Americans, are the big bad wolf. When she's actually from Somalia, Harold, the guy that hit her is African. And I think it's important to note African men put their women in check. They're not going to let you disrespect them like we have to pull punches here in the U.S. and catch a charge.
So let me stop you here, okay? Because I have a couple of thoughts about this. And the first thing that comes to my mind is sticks and stones, okay? And secondly, being a feminist does not give anyone permission to physically assault you. I do understand that if indeed what you say is true, and we can get into the whole psychological and sociological conversation about what she said to him and whether or not he was insulted. But the reality is, somebody threw hands, somebody threw bricks, and it should not have happened. And as both of my guests were saying, you know, earlier, we all must be better than that. And so I think I'll stop right there. But Patrick, thank you so much. Let me go to Shy calling from Maryland. Shy, thanks for calling. What's on your mind? Shy, are you there?
Well,
Go ahead. Turn your radio down and go right ahead, please. Shy,
hello.
Yeah, go ahead, Shy.
Okay.
Don't be shy.
Awesome. All right, so first, I'm going to start with, it is baffling how normalized this is. Like, only I can relate to a story like this. There's so many women that only listen to this.
Shy, I think you're going to have to call back because you also are not coming through clearly. But if you do, hang up and call me back, and I promise I'll get to you. Let me ask you this, Stacey. on under less complicated circumstances where you may have men catcalling women or who may approach them, how best would you advise women to react to, you know, catcalling or something like that? Or what is the best way to say no without, I hate to say this because I don't want to blame the women, but you know, these are situations where you don't know who or what is approaching you with who or what. So mm-hmm. How would you advise? And I'm not talking about, you know, not always grown folks like you, me and Dr. Barnes. You know, but I'm talking about young people like my daughter, who is a beautiful 25 years old. You know, how should she address catcalling and aggressive or inappropriate, unwanted attention?
Yes, that is a very good question. Well, first of all, is you don't want to be rude or escalate anything with your rejection. Because again, rejection is, y'all, do you know that rejection, literally being rejected, is just as harmful as physical pain? It's like, just imagine somebody, the physical pain that she endured, sometimes reject, and I don't want to say her per se, because a brick is never okay. Nothing hitting a woman is never okay. Nothing hitting anyone is ever okay, honestly. But physical pain and rejection is the same thing to the brain. We got to remember, the brain is what we're really talking about. What made this man psychologically say it was okay to hit her? So then your question is, well, what should a woman do? Well, first of all, I would say suggest not being rude. Or, you know, but that still can't guarantee that you're not going to get something negative after that. But a suggestion would be is to, you know, don't be rude. Whatever you say, really try to say it as kindly as you can, and then keep moving. Move away. Of course, I always tell women, you know, things that we have to protect ourselves. This is not a world that we can just live in and kind of, you know. So I would say pepper spray, taser, you know, and if all else fails, run.
Yeah, and I'm talking about before that, because obviously once we cross over the line of violence and fight or flight, that's a different conversation. But I'm talking about before we get to that point. And I'm not necessarily just talking on the street. If you are in, let's say you're in a bar with a dance floor, and a guy comes up and asks you to dance, and you're there with your girlfriends, or he's asking the table of, you know, Stacy, you know, Dr. Stacy J and a couple of her other, you know, ultra, ultra gorgeous girlfriends. And he just wants to dance, and nobody, how do you handle that?
I would just say, don't be rude. Right. And with you saying no, you know, try to, be as kind and courteous as you can. And I would say, keep moving. You know, move out of the way of any possible anything. But the key thing is just try to be kind, you know, and to understand that rejection, that's why I'm really focusing on the rejection and physical pain. The brain thinks about it as the same. The level of rejection is different for different people depending on what psychological trauma your life has had to endure before that rejection. So always remember, you know, that somebody else's journey could have been different than yours. But The brain does look at rejection and physical pain as the same thing.
Yeah.
So just know, when you are rejecting someone, ladies, know that that is a pain. That hurts. Doesn't mean that you have to accept them, but just know that it hurts. So have some empathy and be kind in that rejection.
Yeah. You know, Dr. Barnes, In your group, in your organization, you know, Men Aiming Higher, what kinds of conversations are you having with, young men,
yeah,
about this very issue, and what are they telling you?
Yeah, let me. I think Stacey is spot on, but I want to digress because I think it goes back to my original comment of all of this starts at home. It's the conversations that we're having with our children. It's the interaction we're having with our children. Part of what we're teaching these young men from 14 to 29 is how to be a man, how to sit up straight when you're talking to someone. Instead of saying, you can say yes, no. The importance about pulling your pants up. And for these young ladies and these young men, it's to understand your environment and your audience on what you think you can do and can't do. I think those things are critically important in the interaction of those young people. I'm going to give a quick story. I have a 17-year-old son.
God bless you.
Who said, Dad, I just asked this young lady to be my girlfriend. I said, good for you. He said, but before I asked her, I went to her parents and I asked them, I'm going to ask your daughter to be my girlfriend. Mm-hmm. Once again, it's that old tradition that we have in my household and how we're raising our children, how to be respectful, how to be courteous, how to understand that and how to treat a young lady. All of those things are important in the interaction that we just seen that may or may not have been given to those two young people. So I think we got to do a better job of having those conversations at home, creating that dinner time, working with them on homework, finding out what are they doing and who are their friends. And then lastly, my pastor always says, if you show me your friends, I'll show you your future. Meaning the people that you're associating yourself with, the people that you're hanging with, are also going to be dictated of who you are and what you're going to become of the association you have with those individuals.
So, and as I asked in the beginning, in the young men that you interact with, what are they telling you? And what kind of, obviously I know what kind of conversations you're having with them, but what are you hearing from them?
I think it's a combination of a little bit of everything. A lot of these kids are living in social, economic despair in single households. Their father's either not at home or incarcerated. There's no uncle, there's no other male figure in their household. So mentorship is critically important. Coaches as far as athletics are critically important because they're telling me the struggles of life. I don't have food on the table. I'm hungry at school. I'm embarrassed to be in a free reduced lunch line. All of those things are built up into the development of that child. And when you're absent of those things, of that male figure, and the only thing that you have to rely on are your peers and what you see on social media, then that's when you're acting out. So when that young lady said no, whether she kept twerking and egging him on, which he should have been strong enough to say, let me just walk away.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Mm-hmm. I don't care what she says or what she does. I'm going to just walk away. Yeah. And that's the teaching that we have to provide.
Let me go back to the phone lines, 202-319-7810. Shy, thanks for calling back. What's on your mind? Shy, go ahead.
Okay, cool. You're with me now.
Yes.
Yes, completely agree with the comments. One thing I do feel like was forgotten with the absence is a lot of parents are absent due to working. Not only the father, but the mother, too. So a lot of these kids are raising themselves. I'm very grateful I didn't have to. Back to the reaction. I don't know how we forgot about the countdown method, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, but that's just out the window. And I feel like that should be taught across the board. Mm-hmm. Like, if it used to be something taught in school. Did you want to intervene? Oh, no.
Go
okay,
ahead.
Not
that. We're listening.
All right. Next, back to how normalized this is. I don't care what happened either, because me as a woman, even if someone actually hit me, tripped me, anything like that, not only do I know that person may react, but I am aware of law. And what happened to us just using law? We pay taxes. It's taken from us regardless. Use it. He had a phone in his pocket, and he could have took it out and called the police on her. He could have recorded the video. He could have did anything outside of actually putting hands. And I think my biggest anger and frustration, I'm literally slipping on my words because of how normalized this is. Like, it's so much conversation around, you don't know what happened first. You don't know the whole story. This shouldn't even be a story because if self-control was something that was practiced, not only taught, but practiced and enforced, it wouldn't have went that far.
Yeah. Shy, thank you so much. Stacey, I know I'm going to lose you in a bit, so I'm going to let you have a last word before we let you go, and then we're going to go to Angela calling from Florida. Go right ahead, Stacey.
Yes. So, first of all, thank you for having me this
always.
Evening. It's always a pleasure, Harold, to be a part of your conversation. In closing, I would like to say to women, again, if you can, I like to end with the simplest of things, because we will be rejecting men. Absolutely. There will be a man that you will have to reject. So then I would want you to remember two things. First of all, rejection is hard. So have some empathy, not express yourself in what you do want or what you don't want, right? But remember, rejection is hard, and rejection is the same as physical pain to the brain. That's as simple as it is. So if you can have some empathy, be honest with your rejection, be kind, prepare yourself for it. Even, gosh, I mean, if you can, stick with, what is it they say in therapy, the I statement, you know, assert yourself, but be kind. No one is saying you have to accept the advances of anyone who you don't want to, but remember, rejection to the brain, it's hard, and it is received the same way that physical pain is received by the brain. So with that, know that when you are rejecting someone, just remember that. It's the brain working, and sometimes, depending on the trauma before you, people receive rejection in the brain differently,
yeah,
even when it's painful. So that is my closing. Just rejection is the same as physical pain to the brain, period.
Okay. Stacey, always a pleasure to have you on the program. We'll be talking soon. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Have a great evening. Bye-bye.
All righty. Let me go to Angela. Angela calling from Florida. Angela, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yes, thank you so much. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, awesome. So I just want to say this. I am 52 years old, and when I first heard you guys talk about this story, it took me back to being 12. And when I actually told a boy on my street who was a little bit older than me, no, he wanted to kiss me. And he literally, I was on my bike, he punched me in my face.
Good grief.
And I fell to the ground, and I'm like, oh my goodness, I had to fight this guy off. And I think about growing up and hearing my friends, and I went to very diverse schools, lived in diverse communities. I've lived where we were wealthy, and I've lived when we lost it all. Let me say this, when it comes to being able to have some type of self-control and emotional intelligence, while it may be impacted by your environment and dictated, you know, with when it comes to income and all those, that is not the thing. What we need to be doing, if we're talking about having solutions, here's my suggestion. Communication without examples mean nothing. So when we start talking about, you know, I remember people say kids will listen to what you say, but they'll do what you do. And we need to have examples. That guy back when it was the 1980s or whatever, he was following examples. I remember seeing older guys and these beautiful women walking past them, and they were, if they were saying no, some people were respectful, and some people, they called them all kind of names. They threw rocks. This is nothing new. So we need to actually have those examples out there on social media. We have the ability to counter what we see. So when we talk about videos that people are taking and laughing at, we can't do anything about that. But what we can do is show more men and more women learning how to, or showing, excuse me, how to respect one another. Where are those videos? Where are those conversations where kids can actually see that? So they might not be seeing it in a home, but are they seeing it in the community centers? And it's good to have conversations with boys alone and with girls alone, but there has to be a time when we bring them together, and we need to work it out together. You need to learn how to have these conversations together, because when you're with your boys or when you're with your girls and you're going back and forth talking about what it's like to be male or female or whatever, you're not going to truly know how to interact if you've never done it.
Yeah.
So we have to actually have examples and we actually have to have exercises. Kids are not going outside and playing anymore. We went outside, right? Yeah. Did we go outside?
Yeah.
And we learned.
The adults are the ones who are saying we outside now. Just
right.
So, but you know, Angela, I agree with you. I agree with you 100%. And I will say yes. On social media, there are those examples of civility, those examples of etiquette and the like. The thing, however, is that I don't believe that those who need to see them are seeing them. And I think that's
we need to make a concerted effort to put those images, right, in the spaces where the people who need to see it need to see it, because preaching to the choir doesn't change the situation.
Yeah.
Right? So we need to show more, and these things are happening. I am a teacher.
Yeah.
We have some great kids doing some great things, and we need to help them, you know, show those things. Sometimes they're scared to even show that because, oh, I'm going to be a nerd, or,
yeah,
oh, I'm this or I'm that.
Yeah.
You know, we need to support that. And I think there are ways that we could do it. Yeah. I love this show. I'm so glad I found you guys online.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate your insight and your input. And we're on the air 5 days a week, 7 to 8. So, Angela, thank you so much. I appreciate it. Be safe down there in the Sunshine State. Here's the other thing, you know, Dr. Barnes, and this goes back to, I think, what Angela says. Is it possible, how do we become examples to, how do you do those teachable moments? And I'll give you this, you know, this example. We had this program. We had a topic about etiquette on this program.
Mm-hmm.
It may have been more than a decade ago. And this whole thing about how do you address rejection, how do you receive that, how do you, you know, interact and then not and then immediately cease interaction in a civil way. And I remember this brother called and we were talking about removing your hat at the dinner table or mm-hmm. in a restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And we were saying, yeah, when you're sitting at dinner, you take your hat off. And he asked why. And I said, well, it was respectful. And he said, who says?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I wasn't going to get into a whole long explanation about who said. But the attitude was the thing that bothered me. If something is deemed disrespectful and you question it and you push back, Because you say it's disrespectful and everybody else says it's disrespectful. But I don't believe it is so, and so I'm going to continue to do me. How do we change the hearts and minds of those men or you know, men to be? How do we address that?
You know, I think the 100 black men says it best. What you see, you shall be, I think is part of their tagline or slogan. And I think Angela said it best too, you know, listen, we need more role models. We need more men to stand up. You know, when we were growing up, it was almost a badge of honor to wear that suit everywhere you go because we wanted to look professional and everything that we were taught that, you know, your first impression is how you look and how you dress and what comes out of your mouth. To me, those values are missing. I think we have to do a better job of being able to tell someone, pull your pants up, stop what you're doing. Don't do that in a way where you're not being confrontational, but you're also teaching and giving them that love from a stranger kind of thing. Listen, I think we're living in an environment now where you see the former president of the United States getting away with certain things that we know as a black man we could never get away with. So we're watching those things, and now we're saying, well, if he could do it, then it must be common. We got a guy, and she was in Florida, who's taking away certain curriculum in our school system. So when you start talking about the things that we, good students and good teachers and all that, absolutely we have those things. But we're being fought at a disadvantage at an alarming rate than never before. Once again, I go back to my first thing. We have to do a better job of parenting at home. We have to do a better job of embracing and talking to our young people and understanding where they are and talking to them at their level and not above their level about the importance of everything that they're doing and the importance of communicating with them. To me, I think if we did a better job of doing that and creating that holistic approach, then I think we'll start to see a difference in our young people.
And you know, and to that point, I think it's important. Sometimes we have to be the unks, the surrogate fathers, but there has to be a way to tactfully address that when you're talking about teachable moments in the town square with someone whom you may not have any relationship with at all.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is, you know, that is important. I think, I'm a father. My father was always there, even when I didn't want him there sometimes.
Sure.
But I know, and since we're telling stories, and this happened just, you know, a couple of years ago, where I was going by my parents' house, and I had a young lady in the car. She already knew how I felt about opening the door for her to let her out of the car. That was automatic, but she also had a sense of humor.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as we pulled up with my parents standing in the window watching to see who was going to get out of my car, mm-hmm. and she said, I'm going to open the door and step out. I said, please don't do that. don't do that. Don't mm-hmm. No, I'm going to do that because your daddy's watching. I'm going to. And she opened the door. She put her leg out. I said, please close the door. And so she closed the door. We got into my parents' house, and I hugged and kissed my dad. And then the first thing that came out of his mouth was, so we're not opening doors for ladies anymore, boy.
Right.
And I said, Daddy.
Right.
That was her, not me. Right. You know, and of course she laughed. But I think, you know, all jokes aside, there needs to be certainly those, you know, those teachable moments, and not just in word, but also in deed, because you can say that you can, you know, if you want to talk to a, you know, a woman on the street, you know, realize that you need to prepare a young man to already know that you may get rejected because she may be of a mindset, no one approaches me on the street.
Sure.
Because that's just not the way it's done.
Well, but I also want to be very clear that, you know, these situations go hand in hand because the roles could have been reversed.
Yes, absolutely.
And I think, you know, I don't want to lose sight of that as well, because there is bodily harm done to men by women.
Mm-hmm.
That we don't really talk about because it's more prevalent that men do it to women.
Catcalling, all of that.
The same thing. But, you know, it is still how you handle those issues and how you handle those things that I think, you know, because we all live and deal with trials and tribulations. It's how you handle them that's going to make you the person that you are.
And I think particularly in relation to this conversation is sometimes you may have to, you have to take a breath and figure out, how am I going to approach this person?
Mm-hmm.
And think three steps ahead in that this person may reject me. Or if somebody approaches me, how am I going to address that? If this is somebody that I am not particularly interested in talking to.
Absolutely.
Yeah. We could continue to talk about this, but I am going to stop right here because we are certainly out of time. Former Maryland delegate, Dr. Darryl Barnes, thank you so much for coming by.
This was great.
It's always good to see you.
Yes, sir.
Also, we want to thank Dr. Stacey J. Johnson for being on the program. Sis, love you. Always glad to have you on. That is the Daily Drum for Thursday, September 7th. I'm Harold Fisher. Good night.